Have you ever felt stuck?
I'm not talking about like 1604 traffic stuck. You know, you've been in it too. Guys, it's a real thing. It is. Anyway, I actually think Jesus is going to come back before that gets resolved. But I digress. Focus. I'm not talking about that kind of stuck. I'm talking about like stuck in life. You know, like you've told yourself, you know, this is the last time. I'm not going back there. I'm not doing that again. And then you find yourself in the same place. You find yourself in the same habits, in the same routine. And, well, it's the same you. And maybe it started because of something that you did. Maybe it wasn't something that you did. Maybe it was something that was done to you. And maybe it's not any of that. Maybe you can't even really name it, but there's just this underlying sense in life that, man, life is not turning out the way that you thought it would. And maybe you're here today, and you're maybe even clinging to the last thread of hope. If that is you, I'm so glad that you're here, because that's why we're here today. Because your feelings are 100% real, but they're not necessarily true. That's what the women experienced on that very first Easter Sunday. Thanks to the Gospel of Luke, he records it. He even gives us a few names: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James. And then there are other women that are not named. But on this first Easter Sunday, it is early in the morning. It's before sunrise. It's dark. And they are making their way to the tomb of Jesus. Courageously. Why do I say courageously? Well, because where are the men and where are the other followers? Well, they're hiding behind a locked door at this point. Why? Because they saw what they did to Jesus, and they're thinking, well, they may come for us and do the same thing to us. Not only that, but they are the laughingstock of Jerusalem at this point. They carry burial spices with them, but they carry no hope. The man that they followed, the man that they believed in, the man that they trusted, the man that they saw heal people, raise the dead to life, he was crucified, humiliating. And now he's dead and buried, and with him is every hope and every dream that they ever had. Everything that they had envisioned, it was in that tomb with him. Yet, there they go. They're making their way to the tomb. And something that I want you to understand about these women, they were not naive. They knew what death looked like. They saw him hang on that cross. They watched him gasp for his last breath. They saw him placed in a tomb. A stone was rolled over the tomb and it was sealed. They were not looking for or expecting a miracle. They were not expecting a happy ending. What they were expecting was a dead man to do what dead men do. Stay dead. So, what were they doing? Well, they were doing the only thing that was left to do, and that was to say goodbye. But then they get to the tomb. Luke records this in chapter 24. He says, they found the stone, and it was rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they're going in there, and they're looking, they're expecting to see a body. Better said, nobody was expecting there to be no body in that tomb. It's empty. And then two men appear. Their clothes are shining like lightning. And they say this to them: why do you look for the living among the dead? Will you say this with me? He is not here. He has risen. That sentence right there is the greatest sentence of all time, because it is not just a nice story or a nice sentiment. It is the turning point of all history. To be clear, we are not talking about some spiritual metaphor in life. Okay, we're not talking about some spiritual idea. We're talking about something that has been historically documented. There were hundreds of witnesses. They saw him with their own eyes. We're talking a real man walked out of a real grave, a physical body resurrected. A man walked out of his own grave, and it changed everything. Now, we can appreciate the fact that that was pretty significant some 2,000 years ago. But here's where I want us to focus today. When you leave here today, I want you to know what the resurrection means for you right here, right now. What does an empty tomb mean for you? Well, here's the first thing. An empty tomb means that your past can be forgiven. Will you say that with me? Your past can be forgiven. Without a doubt, every single one of us walked in here this morning carrying something. Maybe it's something that you would love to undo. Somebody was writing your story. That is one page you would love to rip out and rip up. You hope nobody ever knows about it. You'd love to forget it. But an empty tomb says whatever that is that you're carrying, it's covered. Whatever you walked in here carrying, it is covered. It is not minimized. I mean, let's just name it plainly. We're talking about sin. We're talking about our choices to reject God, to turn away from Him, to kind of walk our own path and do our own thing because, well, we think we can do a better job than He can running our lives. And sometimes, and many times, there's consequences that come with that sin. So whatever you're carrying, you need to know it's covered. Because whatever you're carrying, Jesus carried it to the cross. And when He walked out of that empty grave, He left it there. It's done. Finished. Your past can be forgiven. We're going to be looking at the book of Romans today, just a few different places. The Apostle Paul, he writes about this to help us understand it. Look at what he says in this passage. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, okay, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of what? Of sin and death. The law of sin and death. These are the two laws that every single one of us are susceptible to because we have sinned and the wages of sin are death. So the law of sin and death is something that we all have to deal with, and it's something that none of us can deal with in our own. So we've got a problem, a big problem. It's the human dilemma, the law of sin and death. And yet Paul says, you, through Jesus Christ, you have been set free by the Spirit who gives life. And you've been set free from the law of sin and death. What does this mean? This means that you are not who you were. This means you are not what you've done. And this means your past does not get to define your present because of an empty grave. An empty grave says your past can be forgiven. The second thing that it says is that your present can be transformed. Somebody say that with me. Your present can be transformed. Yeah. Here's what Paul writes about that. This is Romans 6. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Will you say this with me? We are no longer slaves to sin. Your present can be transformed. 6 chapters later in Romans 12, Paul would write this. He would say, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's one of my favorite words in all of Scripture, transformed. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. It kind of gives you that picture, that idea, that image of the creeping caterpillar becoming a soaring butterfly. But let me ask you a question. Does the caterpillar transform itself? No. It simply stops fighting the process and yields itself to the process within the cocoon. Friends, that's a picture of baptism. When someone chooses to be baptized, they go down in the water and the old life is left behind and then raised up to new life in Christ. That's not somebody saying, Jesus, I'm going to do better for you. And Jesus, I'm gonna try harder this time. No. It's a person who has stopped fighting the process, yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. It's a way of saying, Jesus, I believe that you are who you said you were. And Jesus, I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, I believe that you can change me from the inside out, and you can do it starting right now. Not someday in the future. Right now, your past can be forgiven. Your present can be transformed. And finally, your future can be secure. Will you say this with me? Your future can be secure. Let's just be honest with each other here for just a moment. And this may not be everybody in here, but I have a sense that for a lot of us, we just feel a little unsettled right now about the future. War in the Middle East, rising cost, the state of our country. And maybe it's nothing like that on a global scale. Maybe for you it's really personal. You're wondering if your marriage is going to make it to the end of the year. Or maybe you're still searching for that special someone. Whatever that may be. There's something about the future that can just unsettle us. But the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope and confidence. Why? Because the worst thing that can happen to us in the future is death. And death is exactly what was defeated when he walked out of the grave. The Apostle Paul, again, this is him. Yeah, you can clap for that. He's putting an exclamation point on this. Listen to this. This is from Romans 8. He says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above. Or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think he got it covered. Can you think of anything that can separate us from the love of God? Did he miss anything? I don't think so. And here's why. Jesus marched into hell and he robbed hell of the keys of death, all the power of death. It had no more power. The law of sin, gone. The law of death, it is gone. The grave, it is empty. And here's the thing. We don't have to be unsettled about the future because now, he rose, and now he reigns. Where is Jesus right now as we speak? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? He is ruling and he is reigning. He is holding together every atom of the universe, holding it in place with the very power of his spoken word. He is sustaining us every moment. That's where he is. That's what he's doing. He rose, he reigns, and let me tell you, he is coming back again. You need to know he's coming back. Now, why do I say that so confidently? Because he said so. And he walked out of his own grave. Whatever he said from that point on, every promise he ever made, I'm going with that promise. I'm pretty sure it's pretty sure. Because he said so. So regardless of what happens between now and then, here's what you need to know. From this point right here, right now, until that moment happens when he returns, you just need to know that in the end, the cross is going to get the final word. The cross gets the final word. What does that mean? Well, that means your failure does not. Your regret does not. Your divorce does not get the final word. Your diagnosis does not get the final word. That thing that you feel like is beyond God's grace does not get the final word. The thing that you think everybody says about you, or the things that you think they think about you, does not get the final word. In the end, it is the cross. Now, here's the thing. Please hear this. You do not have to be unsettled about the future, because the future has already been settled at the cross. Done. As we say around here, we don't spell salvation D-O. We spell it D-O-N-E, because it is done. It is finished. At the cross, the future has been settled and sealed. Jesus walked out of that grave so that you can one day walk out of yours. I met a girl, dated a girl in college. She was beautiful, athletic, smart, or at least that's what she told me. I thought, man, this is it. I mean, she's the one. We dated for 2 years. I got down on one knee. I asked her to marry me. She said yes. I gave her a ring. And I have no idea why I'm telling you this story, because this is so embarrassing for me. But one day, several months later, she gave me that ring back. You should not laugh at that. I am vulnerable here. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Yes, thank you. She gave me the ring back. Now, I do remember, it wasn't funny at the time. I felt like something had died inside me. I mean, you just think, 2 years. I mean, all the plans that I had envisioned, they were gone. Everything that I had planned for, and all the life that I had, all these things I had lined up, it was gone. I didn't know how to move forward. I spent so much time going, I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know how to do life when life doesn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to happen. But here's the thing that I've learned about God. He is not intimidated by the things that we feel like are dead in our life. He does not look at the things that we feel like are dead in our life and go, well, that's over. He's not surprised. He's not intimidated. But instead, we have a loving God who is not bound by time. And he is sovereign. And he looks at the things that seem dead in our life, and he looks at it and he goes, watch this. Watch this. Now, I will admit to you, he allowed that in my life at the time because I needed to grow up. And I needed to mature in a lot of ways. But can I also tell you that sometime after that, he brought that relationship, that very relationship, he eventually brought it back around. And can I tell you that this summer, Alicia and I will be married 28 years. Four kids. Man, life has been, it's been crazy, but it's been so beautiful. If you were to ask me back then, I would have said, it's dead, it's done. I could have never imagined all the love that I have experienced in the last 28 years. I could have never imagined all the, not only the love, but just the life that we've experienced. I had no idea. Now, and please don't leave here and say that Travis said, because the tomb was found empty, I'm getting married. That's not my point. But what I am trying to say is that when Jesus makes something in your life alive again, he does not just restore what was, he exceeds what was there to begin with. When he takes a hold of something that is dead and he revives it, it's stronger, it's better than it ever was before because he is now in it. If you've experienced it, come on. You give God praise. That is exactly what happened in Andrea's life. She was courageous to share her story with us. And I want you to know, parents, I want to give you a heads up. Her story, it is real. Oh, but it's beautiful. And so I want to just give you a heads up. It's going to address some topics like grief and addiction. So I want you to use your judgment with your little ones. But we wanted to share her story today. And I thank her for her courage. And I pray that this story might even give you courage to let Jesus make you alive again.
Nobody grows up thinking one day they're going to be a drug addict or they're going to fall into that kind of lifestyle. But I was in a very bad relationship. And when I was 19, I found myself pregnant. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. God had other plans. In 2004, I went into premature labor and I gave birth to my daughter Amaya, who sadly passed away. Dealing with her loss was hard and there was a lot of guilt as time progressed and I aged. I started developing medical issues, but also during that time, I was continuously being prescribed opioid painkillers. As I dealt with my recoveries and I dealt with all the stressors of everyday life, I noticed that there were times that felt like I couldn't function. I just felt like there was nothing left to keep me going. There was a point that I realized that when I took these painkillers, that it was numbing some of that emotional pain. I, over and over again, would cry out to Jesus and I would ask him to please make this stop. I could feel that on the inside that I was a mess. And on the outside, I was afraid to admit those things because on the outside, I looked like I had it together. One of the things that my husband and I always said was, it seems like OHC knew what message we needed to hear. At this point, I was 1 month newly sober and continuing my recovery. That morning, Max delivered a beautiful message about tetelestai, the concept that Jesus knew our transgressions and still chose to die a sinner's death to give us life. And in that moment, I knew that I had made the right choice in putting my hope in Jesus and allowing him to take the reins instead of asking him and putting it on him to make me do something. I invited him into my heart to change me, to transform me. And that Sunday is the Sunday that I stood up and I said, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I knew things weren't going to be the same because over the past year, I have struggled, but I wasn't alone. I knew that I could put it on Jesus, that he was there for me and would not let me down. I was 11 months into my sobriety journey when I heard Travis preach. During that message, he said,
"But you don't get baptized once you've cleaned your heart up. You get baptized because Jesus has given you a new one."
That message was meant for me. And I stood up in that service and my husband was laughing at me. He's like, "You're gonna do that right now? Like, you don't have a towel, you don't have a change of clothes." I was like, "I don't care, I need to be baptized now." And so with that, I plugged my nose and I went under the water. And when I came up, I cried. But this time the tears weren't of shame. They were of absolute joy. I felt so much different coming out of that water than I had felt from within. What alive again means to me is constantly changing. It means that I've been transformed. It is Easter. I am 12 months sober, and I am alive again in Christ.
What Jesus did in Andrea's life, he can do in yours. You know, it's interesting. It's really easy to dismiss an idea or a philosophy or even a religion, but it's really hard to dismiss a man who walked out of his own grave. And it's really hard to dismiss some 2,000 years later when a life is completely turned around and transformed because of that same man. And Andrea is just one testimony among many. In fact, there are hundreds here today, even today. And in fact, if that is your testimony, if Jesus has changed your life, will you just give him praise right now? Anybody else? Anybody else? I wonder what you walked in here carrying today. I just wonder. You hear those applause because Jesus is real. And he's creating real change in real people's lives. But what about you? Maybe you walked in here, you're carrying something heavy, something really hard. Maybe you've been curious about Jesus, but you kind of kept him at a distance. Maybe you walked with him for a time, but you turned away from him. But you've been thinking lately, man, he did a better job with my life than I have. And maybe you're coming back to him. Regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey, I do want you to hear this, friend. The story of Easter is not just a story. It's not just a nice sentimental idea. An empty tomb, it says something, it declares something, and it is evidence. It is evidence that you can live the life that you were created for. You can live the life that you were made for. The question is, have you received it? Have you received that power? Have you submitted and surrendered your life to him? Have you said yes to him? Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Maybe you're here today and you're ready to turn your life over to him. Let him call the shots in your life. He's the only one. Can I tell you? He is the only one who lived a perfect life. He's the only one who died a death that he did not deserve. I mean, what more evidence could we need? No one wants you to have this life more than Jesus himself. I mean, let me ask you this. What kind of king lays down his crown so that he can lay down his life for someone else? Someone who would spit on him, mock him, turn away from him, take him for granted. What kind of king does that? I'll tell you what kind of king does that. My king. My king does that.
And he's the only one who has the power and authority to say that your past can be forgiven. He's the only one that has the power and authority to say that your present can be transformed and that your future can be made secure. You see, he's the only one who's ever walked out of his own grave, and he's the only one who rules and reigns at the right hand of the Father even now. And he's the only one that can change a life. And if that's what you came here today looking for, I'm telling you, he's the only one. Government can't do it. Education can't do it. Religion, philosophies, ideas, oh, they're all helpful and can be helpful, but they fall short. He's the only one that has that power. And it's his invitation today. His invitation to you to step into that life with him. We're going to pray a simple prayer, and it is simply a way for us to acknowledge that Jesus is who he said he was, and that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before people, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. So we're going to pray together, and then if today is the first time or the first time in a long time, or you've decided that today is the day that you are going to be baptized. You didn't come here thinking about it. You didn't plan for it. You're a planner, but don't let that get in your way. You maybe were baptized as an infant or as a child, and you want to honor that decision today. That was their decision, and you're grateful for it, but today is your decision. If that's you, first time in a long time, you're being baptized today, after we pray this prayer, I'm going to invite you just right where you are, just to stand. We're going to applaud the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in this room right now and applaud the work that he's doing in your life. He walked out of a grave so that you do not have to stay in yours. Let's pray. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. I want to live alive again. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.